It's interesting that the readings today can be seen as a kind of continuation of that theme from the readings last Sunday. Remember that lovely line from Isaiah saying, "Behold, I am doing a new thing." The sense of God as the great innovator, of Jesus as the pioneer of our faith. So here, too, you have in all three readings the resonance of that business of the newness that is supposed to come with fidelity to God, the newness in our lives. It's not even so much renovation as innovation, I think, that we're talking about. And this is reflected in this reading from Hosea. Hosea, if you don't know him, is an interesting prophet. He was supposedly told by God to go marry a whore, Gomer, who kept going into business. You know, they lived together, and then she'd go into business again, and then Hosea would get hold of her again, and that's where we get this line, "I'm going to take her out into the desert." You know, she has nothing to depend on, where all the old stuff has gone away, "and bind her to my heart." Whether he really did marry that lady is irrelevant, because what that was supposed to be was a great metaphor for the relationship between God and Israel. Again, the common human tendency to fall back on the tried and the true. I mean, and this is very clear. Again, and this little passage from Mark, which seems to be a kind of compilation of a whole bunch of bits and pieces, just like most of the Gospels are, where Jesus is talking about something really different, something really new going on. Certainly continuous with Judaism, but and faithful to the most fundamental trajectories of Judaism. But nevertheless, this innovation, this bringing forward, this bringing into the future. And I'd like to focus, therefore, on this passage from 2 Corinthians as exemplifying that and illuminating it as well. 2 Corinthians is an interesting letter. It's probably a collection of letters, actually. Some people think there are many as 14 different letters that got stitched together in that, as they were copying this out. But problem for Paul throughout all of those, and throughout the whole letter, is that here was Paul in Corinth, where he had preached himself. And then in his wake came a bunch of poobahs from the mother church in Jerusalem. They came with letters of validation, letters of authorization. They came with great deal of rhetorical skill. Became apparently even able to do miracles. And what they did, as we saw in the reading last Sunday, which preceded this, is to simply diss Paul, as the kids would say. Put Paul down. Paul's vacillating. Paul can't speak well. Paul's inconstant. Paul's a jerk, in other words. This is a footnote. This is the early church, huh? That great idyllic community. All right. So what does Paul do? He does a new thing. In what way? Well, how does one establish accreditation in the world? Today. By your wardrobe. By your bank account, by the place where you live, by your degrees, and then you have a waffle, by your awards. In other words, all of this peripheral stuff we take as somehow addressing the central reality of the quality of a human being, of another human being. And it was as true in Paul's day as it is in ours. What are your titles? Where do you work? For whom do you work? What's your position in the organization? And knowing all that, then we, of course, immediately assume we know everything there is to know about that person and make all kinds of judgments about the quality of that person. That's tried and true. That's standard operating procedure. What does Paul say? Do we need, as some do, letters of recommendation to you or from you? Do we need, in other words, all that outside validation of who we are and what's real and what's going on here? And we're also talking about the way people see, too. Not just Paul, but Paul is basically saying two things. He says, no, you are my letters of recommendation. The way you live, written in your hearts. So he's making that point, but he's also telling these people, look deeper, folks, come on, don't be misled by all these external trappings which somehow are supposed to validate you. Again, go deeper. Look more clearly. And notice, it's going to be a kind of invisibility. In other words, we have two canons of judgment here. Two set of criteria. And they're incommensurable. One cannot be collapsed into the other. Either you have all this peripheral, external validation, or you have something more real that may not be perceptible, will certainly not be perceptible if you're using that external set of criteria. If, on the other hand, you're looking deeper at who you are, at how you're connected with other people, how the Corinthians are connected with Paul. Note, it's so important to realize that these two sets of judgments, standards of judgments, are even in opposition to each other. They need not be, but most of the time I think they are. In Paul's day and in ours. So what Paul's calling us to, or what the early church in canonizing, in choosing to hang on to this particular letter, is precisely addressing the same injunction to us. How do you judge things? How do you judge things? I am doing a new thing. I am doing a new thing. This is new wine and new wineskin. Meaning a whole different set of criteria for judging things. And my experience is such injunctions are as valid today as they were 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote this text. There's a footnote. As I was driving out, I usually don't listen to the radio. I want to concentrate on what I'm going to do out here. But there was Michael Enright was interviewing a couple of experts from Toronto about the difference of spirituality and religion. You know, can you be spiritual without being religious? Can you be religious without being spiritual? I finally turned it off in total depression. So here's this woman, you know, Dean of Women at Trinity, you know, with her PhD in history, salva reverentia here, saying infantile things. And an elder of the Alliance Church that meets out at the airport saying equally infantile things. I mean, their understanding was so impoverished of the relationship between spirituality and religion, which indicates, again, the need for our appropriation of these texts. Was Paul spiritual or was Paul religious? Think about it.